Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, October 1st, 2019. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures rise as we kick off the fourth quarter.
Tens of thousands take to the streets of Hong Kong for holiday protests.
Boris Johnson gets set to unveil his latest Brexit plan.
And Credit Suisse's CEO survives as his longtime associate resigns after a spying scandal.
President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, is subpoenaed in the House impeachment inquiry. Plus, police say friendly fire killed an NYPD officer. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Monday Night Football saw the Steelers beat the Bengals. The baseball postseason begins tonight with Milwaukee and Washington.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures higher this morning, up 6 points. Dow futures up 63. NASDAQ futures up 23. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. The CAC in Paris down 0.2%. FTSE 100 down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 20, 30 seconds. Yield 1.73%. Yield on the 2-year 1.65%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 57 cents at $54.65 a barrel. And COMEX gold little changed at 1472.70 an ounce. The euro 1.0892 against the dollar. Nathan.
Karen, the rise in equity futures comes as we kick off the fourth quarter. All three major indexes have rallied so far this year, led by the Nasdaq's 20% gain. The S&P 500's tacked on nearly 19%, while the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up more than 15%. Danny Berger reports on markets for Bloomberg.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The fourth quarter is set to be one of uncertainty. There's some major political risks that are looming on the horizon, from trade talks and a U.S. impeachment inquiry to the Brexit deadline. And these binary outcomes, they've really kept investors cautious heading into the end of the year. U.S. equity investors, they've started to adopt a more defensive stance, pouring more than $8 billion into low volatility ETFs in the third quarter. That's the biggest inflow on record. And we're set to see income generating strategies keep their appeal, with the Fed cutting rates twice in the third quarter, while the ECB reduced rates and is also set to resume bond purchases. Add in a weakening manufacturing sector, and there are a lot of macro stresses to dominate. Danny Berger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Danny, thank you. In Asia, there's been a major development involving the protests in Hong Kong. We get the latest from Bloomberg Stephen Engel in Hong Kong.
Karen and Nathan, we are getting reports from local media that one protester has been shot in the chest by a live round, presumably by police. Police have been reported to have fired five live rounds at protesters as the scenes here on the streets of Hong Kong are getting quite tense. Tens of thousands of people have hit the streets defying the police ban. This really is a culmination of 4 months of frustration on the part of protesters with the aim of civil disobedience and unrest on October 1st, which is the 70th birthday of the founding of the People's Republic of China, which had a big parade and celebration in Beijing. Protesters here in Hong Kong, though, having a very different commemoration of October 1st. They want to send a message to the leaders in Beijing to please stop interfering in Hong Kong's affairs. In Hong Kong, I'm Stephen Engel, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Stephen, thanks. Meanwhile, Asian stocks rose for the first time in three sessions, despite some disappointing data from Japan and South Korea, and as China and Hong Kong markets were closed for National Day. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has the recap from Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Nikkei 225 rose 0.6% in Tokyo to 21,885 points. The Tankan survey showed further deterioration in confidence amongst Japan's biggest manufacturers, with a reading of 5 in the third quarter, the worst in more than 6 years. However, the survey was better than expected, meaning it may not be enough to push the BOJ to further stimulus this month. Meanwhile, the yield curve steepened sharply following tweaks to the BOJ's October bond purchase plan. In Australia, stocks rose, but the dollar fell after the RBA cut rates to a record low 0.75%. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. In Europe, it's the moment of truth for UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Brexit plans. We get the very latest live from Bloomberg's Roger Hearing in London. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. The big question here is, with all Boris Johnson's apparent confidence that he can get a new deal over the line with Brussels by the time of the EU summit in just 2 weeks, what is in that deal? Essentially, how can he find a solution that avoids a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic? Now, it's a moment of truth because he says he has a plan. An overnight leak suggested it would involve customs clearance zones back from the border. Immediately, Ireland's Deputy Prime Minister tweeted that would not fly. And now Johnson says that wasn't part of his plan anyway. So confusion still reigns, and the clock is still ticking. Live in London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Roger, thanks. Credit Suisse CEO Tidjane Thiam has survived the spying scandal at the Swiss bank. We get the details on that from Bloomberg Daybreak Europe banker Caroline Hepker in London.
Nathan and Karen, Credit Suisse Chief Operating Officer Pierre-Olivier Bouet has resigned in the wake of the spying scandal that has rocked Swiss finance. He has assumed responsibility for the surveillance of one of the bank's former executives, Iqbal Khan. The Swiss lender says Bouet did not discuss the surveillance with CEO Tidjane Thiam, but that the incident has caused severe reputational damage. In a press conference, the bank's chairman, Urs Rona, told reporters that the surveillance was, quote, wrong and disproportionate. In London, I'm Caroline Hepke, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Caroline, thank you. The euro area's manufacturing sector slumped in September as German factories experienced their worst month since the depths of the financial crisis. And euro area inflation unexpectedly slowed last month. Consumer prices rose an annual 0.9%. That's less than half the ECB's goal of just under 2% and below economists' estimates.
Big tech firms are about to face yet another congressional headache. House Small Business Committee Chairwoman Nydia Velazquez plans to invite Amazon, Alphabet's Google, and Facebook to face questions from her committee on how the companies may be damaging the competitive landscape for small businesses. The hearing would be the latest front in the government's probe of the companies. They already face investigations from the House Antitrust Subcommittee, the Federal Trade Commission, and the Justice Department. Futures pointing to a higher open. S&P futures higher by 6 points. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to get another check of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, his Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and Attorney General William Barr were all drawn deeper into the House impeachment inquiry. Three House committees said they had subpoenaed Giuliani for records of his dealings with Ukraine on Trump's behalf. Talking to Sean Hannity on Fox News last night, Giuliani was asked if he will testify.
Oh, I don't know. I'm weighing the alternatives. I'll kind of like go through it. I'll get all my evidence together. I'll get my charts. I don't know if they let me use videotapes and tape recordings that I have.
Pompeo was among those listening in on a July 25th phone call between Trump and Ukraine's president, according to the Wall Street Journal. The New York Times reports President Trump asked Australia's prime minister to help Barr in the probe connected to Russian interference in the 2016 election. Meanwhile, there's some movement in public sentiment on the impeachment issue. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the latest.
In a new Quinnipiac University poll, there's a 47-47 percentage point split on impeaching and removing Trump from office. That closes a 20-point gap from less than a week ago. A one-day NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll conducted September 25th found about half of Americans, 49%, approve of the House formally starting an impeachment inquiry into Trump. There remains a stark partisan divide, with 88% of Democrats approving and 93% of Republicans disapproving of the inquiry. Earlier polls during Trump's presidency have consistently found most saying he should not be impeached. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The NYPD says that Officer Brian Mulkeen, who was killed in the line of duty this past weekend, was hit by friendly fire. Police Commissioner James O'Neill says two police bullets hit Mulkeen during an incident with an armed man in the Bronx. O'Neill says Mulkeen and another officer were trying to question the man when a chase started, followed by a struggle on the ground.
The suspect's loaded gun was not fired during this incident. Investigation has also found that Officer Mulkeen's partners fired 10 rounds, and two of those rounds struck Officer Mulkeen.
The 27-year-old suspect, who had been on probation for narcotics-related arrest, was killed during the incident. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the baseball postseason begins tonight in Washington. The Nationals have never before advanced. They'll have Max Scherzer on the mound opposite Milwaukee's Brandon Woodruff. AL wildcard games tomorrow, Tampa Bay at Oakland. And start times for the Yankees series were announced. Yanks and Twins at the stadium with Game 1 Friday starting just after 7, and Game 2 Saturday begins just after 5. The Angels fired manager Brad Ausmus after just one season. That may lead to them hiring Joe Maddon, who just parted ways with the Cubs. Maddon worked 30 years in the Angels organization. Monday Night Football in Pittsburgh, easy win for the Steelers, 27-3 over the still winless Bengals. Pittsburgh's first win of the year. The Jets are still winless, and they may still be without quarterback Sam Darnold Sunday in Philadelphia, battling back from mono, though Darnold has been cleared for non-contact drills. The Giants and Daniel Jones will go for a third straight win Sunday at MetLife against Minnesota, and Jones is getting a new weapon. Golden Tate will make his Giants debut after serving a 4-game suspension. The NFL yesterday suspended Raiders linebacker Vontaze Burfict for the rest of the season, longest suspension ever for an on-field incident. Knicks media day, and second-year coach David Fizdale says this team will be better than last year's.
This team is ready to take that next step, and they're going to come out and every game compete to win. I feel like we do have a talent upgrade, you know, with the job that these guys did in free agency and bringing in these new guys. And at the same time, I don't feel like it's going to get in the way of the young talent that we have here who are also hungry to take their next steps and help us win.
Knicks last year won 17 games, had their worst season ever and the worst in the NBA. They did sign 6 free agents. None are all-star caliber. The regular season begins in 3 weeks. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, how much would you pay for a Heisman Trophy, specifically the one that Ricky Williams was awarded in 1998 when he played for the University of Texas? The Williams Heisman is part of Heritage Auctions Fall Sports Memorabilia Collectibles sale, and Heritage estimates its value at $500,000. That would top the auction record set last December when Tim Brown's 1987 Heisman was sold for more than $435,000. This is Bloomberg. Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Cameron Moscow. This update brought to you by IBKR and CME Group. The new micro E-mini futures contracts are available at IBKR at the lowest commissions. Learn more at IBKR.com/CME Mini. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Credit Suisse spared its CEO. Chief Operating Officer Pierre-Olivier Bouy resigned, taking the fall for the spying scandal that has rocked the bank. Venture capitalists and startups are meeting in Silicon Valley today to discuss whether the system for IPOs is still working after many big deals have flopped this year. Attendees plan to discuss alternative strategies, including direct listings. And Chicago Fed Chief Charles Evans said consumers will pick up the slack for a business sector that is reeling from the global slowdown. He sees continued solid growth in the U.S. economy and predicted inflation will modestly overshoot the 2% target in the next few years. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. S&P futures higher, up 8.5 points. Dow futures up 79. NASDAQ futures up 31. The DAX in Germany, little change, down less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 22 32nds. Yield 1.74%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.66%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.1% or 57 cents at $54.64 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1%, down $1 to $14.71.90 an ounce. The euro 1.0902 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2293 and the yen 108.36. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House Democrats have subpoenaed President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, as part of their impeachment inquiry. The former New York mayor has been at the heart of President Trump's efforts to get Ukraine to investigate political rival Joe Biden's family. Multiple rallies are taking place in Hong Kong in defiance of a police ban. Pro-democracy protesters are venting their anger at China's central government, which they say is chipping away at freedoms. There is word one protester has been shot in the chest by a live round. Major League Baseball's postseason starts tonight as the Nationals host the Brewers in the NL wildcard game. In Monday night NFL action, the Steelers down the Bengals 27-3. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Later this morning, we expect to get some of the first results from automakers around the world as they report third quarter and monthly sales. Joining us for a preview of all that, Bloomberg Intelligence senior auto analyst Kevin Tynan. Kevin, good morning. First off, today we expect to hear from automakers outside Detroit. This is the time of year when we expect to see dealers sort of clearing out inventory and making room for the newer model years. Is that what you're expecting today?
Yeah, it's the new model year, and then especially through November, you want to be in position for that. You know, Black Friday has sort of become almost an automotive holiday now, where it used to be the end of the year clearance, sort of, sort of red tag sales at the end of the year, that last push. And I think recently you've started to see such a consumer flurry in around Black Friday that the automakers felt like they were missing out on that and the consumer would be exhausted by the time they get to December. So they sort of pulled that forward to where November winds up being a very strong month for auto sales now and not waiting for just that last month. So a little bit of getting in position to be in position for that end of the year push.
So what are you expecting from positioning from the automakers outside Detroit that we're expecting to hear from today as they report their September numbers?
Yeah, the year-over-year numbers for most of the import automakers will be at the headline will look weak. You know, there's a little quirk of the calendar where Labor Day fell into August this year. So you lose that. And any weekend or holiday in the retail auto industry is very important. So to lose that was a big deal. I think what I would do, Nathan, is look at that overall seasonally adjusted rate, which is expected to be 17 million. And while that was 17.4, which is, you know, near record levels last year, 17 is a very strong number. It's obviously a profitable number for automakers. And I think if we're going to sort of bounce along with a bottom in that high 16 or 17 million range, I'd consider the industry relatively healthy.
How much do you expect incentive spending to affect the numbers?
Yeah, that is normal course of operations. And I think the way I look at incentives, they'll be higher in order to sustain that 17 million pace. The way I look at it, Nathan, is that when incentives don't work is when you start to worry. So a little bit more incentive spending to keep inventories in line. And if it pulls that 17 million SAR, you sort of live with that. It's when you start to see that SAR drop below a 17, 16, maybe even into a 15 handle, and incentives stop working is when you really need to panic.
Now, we're getting the Detroit Big Three. They report quarterly sales tomorrow. And, of course, General Motors has been dealing with a major strike over the last few weeks.
Right, yeah. So built up some inventory ahead of that. And that race really is a pickup truck war at this point. That's really where the operating income is generated, and that's the second largest segment. The full-size pickup segment is now the second largest in the U.S. So, you know, we hear a lot about this impending electrification push and self-driving, but at the end of the day, we're probably due 73% light truck mix in the U.S. for the quarter, and you know, that plays right into the strengths of the U.S. auto manufacturers.
We do, as I say, await the auto sales numbers for the U.S. They'll begin to roll out later this morning when we'll hear from automakers outside the Detroit 3. They'll post their monthly sales numbers beginning later this morning. We will of course, bring those figures to you throughout the day and into the week here on Bloomberg Radio. Kevin Tynan, Senior Auto Analyst, Bloomberg Intelligence. Thanks for the preview on that. Bloomberg Intelligence with unique real-time research and context on industries, all the market and government fact that impact business. Terminal customers can access this function at BIGO. Futures pointing to a higher open this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by the new Range Rover Evoque, designed to open your eyes to the possibilities of what's right in your own neighborhood. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for the new Range Rover Evoque. Land Rover above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures higher this morning as we begin a new trading month and quarter. So far this year, the S&P 500 is up almost 19%. The NASDAQ is the biggest winner, up more than 20%.
Meantime, look for more evidence of weakness in American manufacturing. Economists say the ISM factory index probably showed little change in September. Report set for 10 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Judice reports.
Escalating White House tariffs are weighing on America's economy. In August, the ISM factory index signaled contraction for the first time since 2016. New orders hit a 7-year low, production a 4-year low. More recent data from Federal Reserve district banks in general point to little improvement. Vinny Del Judice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. Automakers report monthly and quarterly U.S. sales figures today. We get a preview now from Bloomberg's Amy Morris.
Carmakers probably avoided a quarterly sales decline for the first time in almost 2 years, but only by spending big on incentives to push old vehicles out the door. J.D. Power says sales were likely flat during the third quarter, but average incentive spending rose to more than $4,100 per vehicle. Toyota, Nissan, and Honda report monthly sales today. General Motors and Ford Motor report tomorrow. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thanks. The Euro area's manufacturing sector slumped in September as German factories experienced their worst month since the depths of the financial crisis. And Euro area inflation unexpectedly slowed last month. Consumer prices rose an annual 0.9%. That's less than half the ECB's goal of just under 2%.
Credit Suisse CEO Tidjane Thiam survives the spying scandal at the Swiss bank, but it has claimed his longtime associate Pierre-Olivier Boué, who has resigned as chief operating officer.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson will present a new plan for a Brexit deal to the European Union within days, but there are signs that it will not be acceptable. The Irish government has said that Johnson's reported blueprint for resolving the Brexit impasse is a non-starter.
In Australia, the central bank has cut interest rates for the third time this year. The Reserve Bank of Australia is signaling it may cut even further. Futures this morning higher. S&P futures up 7 points. Dow futures up 69. NASDAQ futures up 26. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 20, 30 seconds. Yield 1.73%. Yield on the 2-year 1.66%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or 55 cents at $54.62 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.70 to $14.74.60 an ounce. And the euro 1.0901 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by MBAF, CPAs and advisors dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities, and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com. Now, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and Attorney General William Barr have been drawn deeper in the House impeachment inquiry. Bloomberg's Mark Mills reports.
Rudy Giuliani has been subpoenaed by Congress for records of his dealings with Ukraine on Trump's behalf, and Secretary Pompeo was among those listening in on the July 25th phone call between Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky, according to a person familiar with the matter. The New York Times reports that Trump recently asked Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison to assist Attorney General William Barr, who's looking into the origins of the investigation of Russia's meddling in the 2016 election, as President Trump seeks to discredit findings of the Mueller probe of Russian election interference.
There was a lot of corruption having to do with the 2016 election against us, and we want to get to the bottom of it, and it's very important that we do.
Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The U.S. has stepped up airstrikes on Islamic State militants in southern Libya. The U.S. military's Africa Command says an American strike that killed seven suspected Islamic State members on September 29th was the fourth in a month. A New York City police officer has been killed by friendly fire for the second time this year. Police Commissioner James O'Neill says 33-year-old officer Brian Mulkeen was fatally struck by gunfire from his fellow officers while wrestling with an armed man in the Bronx.
This is a tragic case of friendly fire, but make no mistake, we lost the life of a courageous public servant solely due to a violent criminal who put the lives of the police and all the people we serve in jeopardy.
The suspect, Antonio Williams, was also killed. A pro-democracy protester has been hit in the chest by a live round as demonstrators are marching in Hong Kong, defying a government ban on protests today. Demonstrations have stretched on for 4 months. One marcher says they are sending a message to Beijing.
This is the only way we can speak out, so I think there's no other way to let the government know we are still fighting until we get the message and we get the answer that we want.
Today, China's Communist Party celebrates their 70th anniversary in power. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:35 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, a year ago, Washington Nationals missed the postseason. The Milwaukee Brewers made it all the way to Game 7 in the NLCS. The Nats and the Brewers played tonight in D.C. One-game wildcard playoff to see who then faces the Dodgers. The Yankees will face the Twins with Game 1 Friday night at the stadium. They have beaten Minnesota 10 straight times in the postseason. Twins, though, just broke baseball's single-season home run record. They hit 307, one more than the Yanks. Joe Maddon has left the Cubs. Will his next managerial job be with the Angels? He worked for them for 30 years. They just fired Brad Ausmus after one season. Took into the last game of Week 4, but the Steelers in the win column 27-3 last night over still winless Cincinnati. Mason Rudolph's now the Pittsburgh quarterback, and he went 24 of 28, a couple of touchdown passes. Who will be the Jets QB Sunday in Philadelphia? Sam Darnold trying to make it back from mono.
It's out of my control. My spleen at this point is going to do what it's going to do. And right now I'm just focused on, you know, if they say I can get some cardio in, getting as much cardio in as I can, making sure that I'm in shape so that if I were to go out there and play a game, I'd hold up. Again, you know, just to clarify, you know, I'm going to let the specifics come out when they do. But just until then, I'm going to just do what the doctor said.
We can't go. The still winless Jets will have to stick with Luke Falk. The Giants are getting whiteout Golden Tate back for Sunday's game with Minnesota after he served his 4-game suspension. But as Tate returns, the Giants have lost linebacker Ryan Connolly to a season-ending torn ACL. He had been impressive in his rookie season. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
California is having a housing crisis, and homeowners opposed to development are making it worse. So the state is trying a new approach, turn some of those homeowners into mini developers. It's an idea that deserves the governor's support. Right now, the housing shortage costs California more than $140 billion in lost economic output annually. It's a vicious circle. Lack of housing drives up prices, and higher prices encourage opposition to development from homeowners seeking to lock in their gains. So lawmakers recently passed legislation that would make it easier for California homeowners to convert their garages into granny units and rent them out. Enabling more homeowners to produce rental units is a smart way to create more housing, in effect by letting owners opposed to development capture some of the gains. Governor Gavin Newsom, who recognizes that the housing shortage is hurting the state, should sign the legislation. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is just before 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
City leaders in the classic movie Jaws would have done just about anything to get rid of the great white shark menacing their coast. In Cape Town, South Africa, though, there's concern that many of the thousands of tourists who come there may go elsewhere because there are no sharks. Experts are searching for reasons for the disappearance. The orcas that eat them, the fishermen who sell their prey to Australia for use in fish and chip shops, or gradual ecological change. The experts say it's too early to tell whether the absence may just be temporary, but it's creating concern because the species is key to a $2.6 billion provincial tourism industry. Spotters haven't seen a great white in 2019 after averaging 205 sightings between 2010 and 2016. Sightings fell to 50 last year. The arrival 4 years ago of two male orcas may have had an effect. There have been instances elsewhere when great whites have temporarily left after being preyed on by orcas. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. President Trump's decision not to release his tax returns in 2016 has spurred battles coast to coast on the state and federal level. Nancy Lyons has more from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The lawsuits are piling up concerning the president's tax returns.
Lawsuits in California in at least two different courts. You've got two separate lawsuits going on in Washington, D.C. You've got a lawsuit at a federal district court in New York, and you've got another lawsuit at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit.
Bloomberg tax reporter Aisha Bakshi says in California, you now have to turn over tax returns to be on the ballot. In New York, the law requires state tax officials to turn over returns to specific congressional committees. The Trump team is fighting it with the possibility the Supreme Court will need to decide. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Nancy, thank you. Futures pointing to a higher open this morning, and you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call, brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are moving higher. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are trading in the green right now. Dow futures up 72 points. S&P's gained 8, while NASDAQ futures climbed by 28. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.73%. Note that Japan had its worst bond auction in years. Gold is down 3, and Shanghai was closed overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing PMI, and at 10 o'clock, ISM manufacturing, prices paid, and construction spending. Regarding earnings this morning, McCormick EPS beat estimates, and in deal news, U.S. Steel to buy a 50% stake in Big River Steel for $700 million, and co-star to buy hotel data company STR for $450 million in cash. Wrapping things up, Philip Morris was upgraded to buy at Bank of America. Celanese downgraded to neutral at Goldman Sachs. And VMware upgraded to outperform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thanks. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the impeachment investigation is intensifying. Three House committees said they had subpoenaed President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, for records of his dealings with Ukraine. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal reports Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was among those listening in on the July phone call between Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to investigate political rival Joe Biden and his son. Riot police have fired tear gas to disperse pro-democracy demonstrators in Hong Kong as the Chinese Communist Party marks its 70th year in rule. Police say that a protester was hit in the chest with a live round. In Monday night NFL action, the Steelers down the Bengals 27-3. MLB's postseason starts tonight as the Nationals host the Brewers in the NL wildcard game. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, looks like red meat's back on the menu. Eating less beef and pork has few health benefits, according to a study published in the Annals of Internal Medicine.
Oh.
Researchers drew condemnation from the medical community, and it may raise questions about longstanding dietary guidelines. Nathan, the study didn't say piling on the burgers is healthy.
Oh.
But the evidence against red meat is weak.
Look at you throwing red meat at the red meat eaters.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Little A1. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. Does your cooking proud. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
See you at the grill, Michael. Thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where developments in the impeachment inquiry abound. President Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani now facing subpoenas from three House committees. The Wall Street Journal reporting that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was in on that phone call with Ukraine's president. And the New York Times reports that President Trump asked for Australia's help to investigate the origins of the Mueller investigation. For more on all this, we're joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And as these developments continue, Kate, it seems like more of the president's inner circle is being entangled in what House Democrats are looking to investigate.
Absolutely. We're seeing not just his personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, who's been, you know, really the primary surrogate for Trump when it comes to visibility and cable news appearances, that sort of thing. We've seen him dragged into this more directly, along with Attorney General William Barr, and perhaps most surprisingly, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. So certainly it's going to be increasingly difficult for Trump to kind of disentangle himself and his allies from this.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about the significance of Secretary of State Pompeo being involved in this call with the Ukrainian president.
Well, it's not just that Pompeo is someone who has been a close confidant of Trump, who's very close to Trump by all accounts. It's also the fact that when asked about the whistleblower complaint on Friday, the Secretary of State basically said he hadn't seen it and kind of acted surprised and uninformed about the matter, which, to put it kind of glibly, I guess, just isn't a good look when we come to find out now that potentially Pompeo was actually listening in on the call, so would have firsthand knowledge of what was said. And so it just adds to the perception, if not the reality, that the White House isn't being, and the administration isn't being particularly forthcoming on this matter, and that they're not necessarily revealing all there is to reveal about it.
And if there are questions now raised about whether Pompeo was forthcoming about this, does it raise questions about how forthcoming he's been on foreign policy matters, which, of course, is his wheelhouse?
It certainly does. And, you know, it's the same kind of questions that, you know, now are being raised within the Justice Department in terms of Attorney General William Barr's actions there. It's the same type of questions that are being raised, you know, if Bill Barr actually, you know, was working with the Australians, as the New York Times report essentially indicates, to, you know, in his inquiry to discover the genesis of Robert Mueller's probe of Russian election meddling in 2016, that raises some questions about whether that should really be in the bounds of what the Justice Department is doing and whether, you know, the public and Congress knows all there is to know about those efforts.
And in terms of the subpoenas, many subpoenas that we're now seeing, not just for Giuliani to testify, but for records regarding the Ukraine phone call and special counsel Robert Mueller's grand jury records as well. I mean, this could continue to snowball very quickly.
Absolutely. I think the snowball is definitely heading down the mountain at this point. And I think that, you know, we are likely to see the Trump administration has given every indication so far that they aren't intending to cooperate with Congress, not just on this inquiry, but on the, you know, on the Mueller inquiry, on inquiries about Trump's tax returns. And so I don't really anticipate any kind of a change in posture on that. If anything, this is the biggest threat, clearly, I would say, to Trump's presidency so far. And so all indications are that the White House and the administration are going to be digging in and fighting back hard against Congress. So I think getting a hold of the types of records and documents that the Congress has now subpoenaed, that the House has now subpoenaed, and also, you know, perhaps compelling members of top level members of Trump's administration to testify, I think is going to be a rocky road potentially for Democrats.
So are you thinking that Giuliani could defy the subpoena for him to testify before these committees, these three committees that have called for his testimony?
If there is a sense that they want Giuliani, I would say that Giuliani has indicated already that he may refer to attorney-client privilege as a reason why he wouldn't need to testify or he couldn't be compelled to testify before the House. So I think that is something we certainly should anticipate.
In our last minute and a half here, we're starting to get third quarter reporting from some of the 2020 Democratic presidential candidates. And a couple of them are showing that even if there's evidence that they may be down in the polls, they are certainly not out when it comes to racking up donations.
Yeah. And so, you know, even though Biden has consistently remained the front runner and Elizabeth Warren is kind of nipping at his heels there, I think it's Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Pete, who has really kind of shown his staying power when it comes to fundraising. He has gotten his third quarter fundraising numbers out now, and it looks as though he's raised about $19 million in the third quarter, which isn't as much as he raised in the second quarter. In the second quarter, he was actually the pace setter and raised the most of any of the candidates so far. Bernie Sanders seems to have topped him by a little bit, raising $25 million in the third quarter. Buttigieg is down a little bit, but it doesn't look as though it's down all that much. And as you say, he doesn't seem to really be catching fire in the polls, but he seems to be drawing in the money, and that certainly may keep him in the race, you know, longer than folks at the beginning might have anticipated.
So we may have a bit of a more of a long way to go as the 2020 race progresses. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. You can read more on these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Millennials could be ready to save the economy. I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. By now, the word millennials transcends a shorthand for the group of people born between 1981 and 1996. It's avocado toast. It's the generation that shunned marriage and homeownership. Cutting through the noise about this generation is a pressing matter for those on Wall Street. A group of Morgan Stanley strategists makes a long-term bullish case for the U.S. economy and the stock market because millennials will overtake baby boomers to become the largest adult cohort in America. Once Gen Z follows them into adulthood, they say, the potential for growth is even greater. The millennial balance sheet shows this generation is stuck in a tricky balancing act. Their income is slowly improving, and they're trying to save for retirement, but student loan debt is weighing them down and postponing home ownership. Should they ever become unshackled, they could very well provide the growth engine for America in the coming decade. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 6 points. Dow futures up 52. NASDAQ futures up 21. We did get some earnings this morning. We heard from McCormick, its third quarter profit beating analyst estimates, and it also raised its outlook for the year. 10-year treasury down 19/32nds, yield 1.73%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.65%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.2%. It's up 63 cents at $54.70 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.20 to $14.74.20 an ounce. And the euro 1.09 against the dollar. The yen at 108.27. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.